the Chosen, you will see they use a couple words when they meet each other. It's shalom, shalom. I always thought it was shalom, but it's two. So I learned something from the Chosen. Let's give Aaron a big hand for what he did. It's an awesome responsibility. So good to be with you today. Today I'm going to talk about what is God's purpose? What is God's purpose for us, for the world, for our nation, for the Israelite people? You know, God administers human history with his redemptive purpose in mind. And he administrates what happens around the nations of the world, believe it or not. And you perhaps have seen examples where this does not seem true. Sometimes it seems like the devil is in charge when we see what's happening. God was thrown out of public education in 1962. As a result, the SAT scores have considerably dropped. God has been taken out of government. Laws are being put through that are contrary to what the Word of God says. You know, it seems like maybe the government's in total charge. Believers are being attacked, but it doesn't seem like God's in charge. Well, let me tell you this morning, God is in charge of all history, and especially with Israel and you personally. You just have to believe his word, not the newspapers, not the TV talk shows, not the TV newscasts, and certainly not the liberal politicians. God is in charge, and he's always at work in the world, even when we can't see what he is doing. And sometimes it's very difficult to see. God, where are you? When things happen. It's a true story. You will not find this in public school. You will not find it in public school textbooks. And it is certainly not politically correct. But it's a true story of our nation that happened. Before the colonies had a standing army, the French decided that they were going to clean up on the entire eastern seaboard. And they sent the biggest fleet they had available. And they had these guns on these ships, and they were warships, and they were just huge. Well, the colonies found out that this was going to happen. So what they did is two things. They prayed and they fasted. As it turned out, only three of all the ships that were sent made it. The commander of the entire fleet committed suicide because he lost so much along the way. What did he lose? I want to tell you about the power of God. As those ships were coming over to take over the whole eastern seaboard, mysterious storms came up and battered those ships. A mysterious plague took many lives of the people on the ships. Only one ship made it back to France out of the entire Armada. Only one. Remember, what did the colonists do? They fasted. And they prayed. The whole point is this. We need to see history in the right way. Through the eyes of God, not through our eyes. Through the eyes of God. You're saying, well, Dave, what's the point? Well, if God is involved in history, then the question is, what is he trying to do? Why are things happening how they are? Why do people and nations suffer? Another example is India. If you look at the history of India, you'll find that multitudes of people have starved for centuries. Now, what we have to understand is that God deals with nations. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will set to judge all the nations round about. So nations are going to be judged. In other words, he holds them accountable for every revelation they received, especially with Israel. Don't forget that. How a nation treats Israel is going to be judged. So this question comes up. Well, a missionary was talking with an engineer, an agricultural engineer, because his company was situated there in India. And he had a home there, and he had a beautiful garden in his backyard. And what he told the missionary was that India is one of the most fertile soils in the world. Some places, the top soil is several hundred feet deep. The engineer, who was not a believer, said to the missionary, this is what he said. He said, I have come to the conclusion that there is something wrong in India that is apart from natural things. What's the answer to that? Well, why is there starvation generation after generation? Because simply they worship demons and animals. The people are starving, and all these animals are walking down the street. All these hamburgers are walking around, and they worship them. They don't do anything with them. The problem is spiritual, not just natural. God deals with the nations. And if we don't understand God's purpose for a nation, we do not know how to help them the right way or the best way. It's really ridiculous to send millions and millions of dollars over there for food, because that is not the answer to a spiritual problem. Now let's look at Israel. The Bible tells us that the Israelite people are God's people. There's no question about that. We all know that. They were in the wilderness to be taught the ways to accomplish their destiny. And they had to learn that life comes from God. There were no groceries, there were no water apart from God. And they had to learn to trust God for his miraculous supply. And even for their basic necessities, to depend totally and completely on God. Very interesting, when they were in the wilderness, their sandals didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They got up every morning and they had breakfast waiting for them. God was there watching over them. So, God was trying to show Israel to not increase in independence. I can do it myself. We can do it. What God is trying to show them is spiritual maturity is increasing dependence on God, not ourselves. And God was trying to show Israel this, and what he was trying to do is develop their character. And this was the opposite thinking of Egypt. God's focus is on the kingdom within, so we can be a usable vessel for his kingdom. Later, Joshua, he takes them into Canaan, and they were conquering enemies left and right. Victory, victory. Everything was going great. And the covenant relationship is evident. God gives the victory, proving that he is the true God to the people of Israel. And then we come to the book of Judges. Very interesting book. Everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes. That's the problem we have today in our society. Here we have the roller coaster. You had idolatry. You had no multiplication going on. Character corruption was rampant. But with Joshua, I love Joshua. You have victory after victory. Joshua is one of my favorite Bible characters. And he's going in, he's beating up these demon worshipers and extending the kingdom of God. And man, they were just going for it. And they were. What a leader he was. Why was this happening at this point in history? Because Israel was pursuing God. Israel was pursuing God's ways, and Israel was pursuing God's purposes. Look at David's life. Remember, he was chased around by Saul, hiding in caves, and he was like a fugitive. He didn't have any peace. Read Psalms. And David was a good guy, and David loves God, and you know, David is singing psalms to God. He's writing all these psalms, and he was quite a musician. And David's not trying to be bad. Why are things so tough for him? Why is he being chased around like a dog in the desert, the Bible said? The answer, I believe, is this: to make good guys better. What happens to the branch that gives fruit? It's pruned. It's cut. Why? So they can bear more fruit. And this applies to each one of us here today. Anything you ever experience in life, the positive experiences, the negative experiences, God is there. Remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything that God is doing is for his purpose in mind. If you hang around long enough, God will show you how it works for good. Let me give you an example. A pastor friend of mine told me this story when we were in New York. Pastor called his friend, it was another pastor, because he told him his church burned down totally. Insurance? Well, no, you see, there was a problem with the chimney, and the insurance company denied our claim because of the chimney. Romans 8:28, is that good? All things happen for the good? Our church is gone. We lost everything. At the time of the fire, the male employment rate was over 30% in this area. Many men in the church became unemployed. There were more men unemployed in that church congregation than there were the ones that were employed. Now, the fire was in the middle of winter. Now, if any of you are up in New York in the winter, you know what it's like. 10 below, 20 below. You guys have it made down here. This was in the middle of winter when this fire happened. They had 2.5 feet of snow on the ground. And what the congregation decided to do, they decided to go to prayer. What else could you do? They lost everything. Well, what they did, they gathered in homes. And they had prayer meetings. And they fasted. And the question that came up is, God, where are you? People were getting saved in our congregation. They were coming to know Yeshua. We were doing so well. We had a great youth program. Everything was going great. God, where are you? Why did this happen to us? The next month, they received notification from the insurance company. Totally unexpected, totally unusual, they reversed their denial. They received enough money that the unemployed men built the new church. A new church was what they really wanted in the first place. But in the meantime, when they're going through it, it's not good. It hurts. It doesn't feel good at all. You see, God always is working with a plan. God is always working for a purpose in our life. Go back in your life and just think of all the things you went through. God has a plan and God has a purpose for everything that you're going through and that what you will go through. Never forget this. God is sovereign. Believe it. Remember the story of the disciples in the boat? Remember Jesus had them cross? And there was this killer storm that comes up, and these guys were experienced fishermen. I mean, they knew the water. They knew how to handle a boat. But they panicked. Water was going over the gunwales going into the boat. And Jesus was sleeping in the front part. Boy, I don't know how he could sleep during that, but he was. So they called Jesus. Jesus, you got to help us. We're going to sink here. And Jesus stands up and he rebukes them for not having faith. They should have believed him. Going over to the other side, they should believe in what he did, who he is, the power that he has. And he shouts to the wind. He says, shut up! That's really what it says. The King James Version says, peace, be still. But read between the lines. He's actually told us to shut up. And it does. And the disciples' eyes were big. They were like a tree full of owls when this happened. I'd love to have a video of that. I really would. So what's the point? Why did they have to go through that? What is God's purpose in this? That boat was going to sink. They were afraid. They were drenched, wet. The point was so that they could get to know Yeshua better. Because they now had a revelation of Yeshua. They never would have had it if they were not in that circumstance. Remember the story of Job? Job's a very interesting book. It's the oldest book in the Bible. All of you knew that. And what they used to have is morality plays. People couldn't read. And what they wanted to do is to get God's truth out to the common people. So what they did, they put on morality plays. They actually played out. One of the famous plays, morality play, was called J.B. J.B. And they acted out the play so people could understand what God was trying to say, what he was trying to do. Job was a wealthy landowner. He was a livestock owner. He was a man of faith. patience, endurance, generous, caring. I guess he could get the Man of the Year award, who's who in the world. But you know, he lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his flocks. He lost his herd. Even his wife said, you know, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Then he had three friends come to talk to him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they said, you know, Job, you know why this is happening to you? Because you have some secret sin in your life, and God is going to zap you for it. And this is what the argument was, over and over and over. And Job just said, why, God, am I going through this? Why am I going through this? And God said, remember, Job gave his arguments to God. You know, God says, well, where were you when I created thus and such? And he goes on quite a bit about what God did. And God said, look, Job, if you were around when I created all this stuff, then I'll tell you why. And he just leaves. He just leaves. He walks off the pages. In the next chapter, Job says, you know, before this happened to me, I heard about God with the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes have seen him. No matter what each of you are going through, and only God and you know what you're going through. God administers human history. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And he has a destiny for you. And when Jesus returns, when Yeshua returns, and he's coming. He's coming. And when he returns to rule and reign, he is not going to ask the opinion of the world order. He's not going to ask the opinion of the United Nations. He's not going to ask the opinion of the Supreme Court. He's not going to ask the ACLU, Antichrist Lawyers United, that's what I call them. He's not going to ask the radical feminists. He's not going to certainly ask the World Council of Churches. He is God. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of Judah. And his kingdom will have no end. So his plans and his purposes for destiny and for Israel, these are for you. These are for you. I don't care what you've done. People say, well, God, if you knew what I've done, I'm a sinful person. God doesn't care. You don't live on your past. You live on now and what God is going to do for you. Here's a true story I want to leave with you. I was always known as the story pastor. I have hundreds of stories. I have files of them. Because I believe it's very important to give illustration. I think it's very important to give stories so people can grab hold of the truth that is being said. This is a true story that actually happened from Roger Sims. Put your seatbelts on. Roger Sims was hitchhiking on his way home, and he would never forget that date May 7th. His heavy suitcase made Roger tired, and he was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. Flashing the hitchhiking sign to the oncoming cars, he was losing hope. Car after car, truck after truck passed him, and he had a long ways to go. Finally, there was another car coming. He thought, well, I'll try again. I'll put my hand out and try to hitch a ride. And this was a great, big, black, sleek, new Cadillac. And to his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger door opened, and he ran toward the car, and he tossed his suitcase in the back, and he thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. Going home for keeps? Sure am, Roger responded. Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. Well, not quite that far. Do you live in Chicago? Well, I have a business there. My name is Hanover. After talking about many things, Roger, who was a believer in Yeshua, felt a compulsion to witness to this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman about Yeshua. But he kept putting it off until he realized he was only 30 minutes from where he was going to get out. It was now or never. So Roger cleared his throat. Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something that's very, very important. Please let me explain to you. And he then proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Yeshua as his Savior. Nothing was said. The car kept driving. It was quiet. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. And Roger thought, well, he's going to tell me to get out and be ejected from the car. But the businessman bowed his head and received Yeshua as Lord and Savior and thanked Roger. This is the greatest thing that ever happened. That's not the end of the story. We're just getting started. 5 years went by. Roger married and had a 2-year-old boy and his business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he happened to find the small white business card Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up the Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him that it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. He didn't understand that, but okay. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hands. You knew my husband, right? Roger told her how her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. Can you tell me when that was? Yes, I can. It was May 7th, 5 years ago. And that was the day I was discharged from the Army. Anything special about that day? Roger hesitated. Should he mention giving his witness? Since he had come so far, he might as well take the plunge. I'm here anyway. Mrs. Hanover, I want you to know that I explained the gospel to your husband. And what he did is he pulled over to the side of the road and he wept against the steering wheel and he gave his heart to Yeshua that very day. Explosive sobs shook her body. Getting a grip on herself, she sobbed. I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. And I didn't see any result at all. I believed God would save him. I believed it. But I would like to see it in my lifetime. And, said Roger, where is your husband, Mrs. Hanover? He was quiet for a minute. And she looked up to him and said, he's dead. She wept, struggling with words. He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. Sobbing uncontrollable, she added, I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his words. What's the point? God administers human history with his redemption purpose in mind. Always remember, God is in charge. All of you. His plan of redemption will be totally successful. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen.
Well, thank you, Dr.